Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to talk about four effects of continuing in sin, according to St. Alphonsus Liguori. If you continue to sin, gradually you will cease to feel remorse of conscience. You will think no more of eternity, nor of your soul. You will lose almost all light. You will lose all fear. Behold, the hedge is taken away. Behold, God has already abandoned you. So the first effect, you cease to feel remorse of conscience. St. Alphonsus' point is that the more that we continue on in sin, the less guilty we feel about it. We, in other words, dead in our conscience. We get used to sin, in other words. Think about the sense of touch, for example. When you reach out and you touch your hand, you feel that right away, that initial touch. But if you just let your hand rest upon your other hand, you get used to it. It's that first touch, that first contact with the skin. All of a sudden, oh, my hand is touching my other hand. Well, similarly with sin, as soon as we act against our conscience, do something that is wrong, God, by his grace, stings our conscience to say, hey, you've acted contrary to my law, to move us back towards repentance. But if we persist in this, then we can get used to this. In other words, our conscience gets deadened. And we then are led to this conclusion, well, because I don't feel bad, it must not be bad. This is what St. Louis de Montfort says about this. You must deeply distrust the feelings of your heart, however just and sincere they may seem to you. So sometimes we have to distrust our feelings about what is right and wrong because we have lost remorse of conscience because of persisting in an area of sin. So if we can't trust our feelings, what can we trust? Well, not what we feel is right or wrong, but what has been revealed to be right or wrong through divine revelation. So we look at scripture. What does scripture say? And what does the church teach us regarding the moral life? I mean, when we trust scripture and the teachings of the church, you can't go wrong with this. The second effect, you will think no more of eternity nor of your soul. So when you're not thinking about eternity and the kingdom of God, what are you thinking about? Well, then our thoughts gradually go towards the kingdom of ourself. Our life becomes very self-centered. And this is an effect of persisting in sin. The other thing is we stop thinking about our soul. So then what do we end up thinking about? We start thinking more about our bodies. And you can see this being played out in our secular culture. It's like the body has been elevated up to this God, healthy at all costs. Think about what happened during COVID. It was like, we've got to stay healthy at all costs. So people lost their businesses. Businesses were shut down. Families separated each other. You can't come into my house unless you're vaccinated. You know, we shut down our churches. It was the body and preserving the body at all costs. Now, do we have to look after the body? Yeah, the body is given to us from God. It's a blessing. But to elevate the body and think that the body's going to live forever and it's the be-all and end-all, well, it's not. The body's going to die. And so we have to get rid of this obsession with healthy. You see, the purpose of life is not to be healthy. The purpose of life is to be holy. I did another video on this. I'll link actually at the end of this video if you want to look into it a little bit more. I did it a number of months ago. I came across a story of a tech tycoon named Brian Johnson, and he spends $2 million a year on trying to stop or reverse aging. Isn't that crazy? He's hired 30 healthcare professionals to look after him. So they monitor everything from the hair to the skin, to the teeth, to the hearts, to the lungs, to the liver, kidneys. Like everything about his life is to optimize his health to reverse or stop aging. As a result, in my opinion, he stopped living. The human person is both body and soul. And so when we continue to persist in sin, we forget about eternity and we forget about our soul. And what about our soul? The need of our soul is sanctifying grace. And sin blinds us to this need. The third effect, you will lose almost all light. What happens when you walk into a dark room? Well, it's hard to navigate through it, isn't it? You can't see your way. And what happens when we lose the light of Jesus Christ? Well, we lose our way. We can't navigate life. We start making bad decisions. And we don't see the way God wants us to see. Take, for example, just somebody's job. When you lose the light of Christ, you lose perspective. And what does a job become? Well, then a job makes you a living, where it should make you a giving. The purpose of work is to glorify God and to serve other people. But when we lose the light of Christ, when we've persisted in sin, we lose perspective, and then our daily duties, well, it's just a job, just to make us a living, to retire comfortably. See, when you lose the light, you lose perspective. Even think about the virtue of gratitude. When you persist in sin, you lose the ability to see the world as we should, then we can't be grateful. Because we should see all as a gift from God. Everything that we have, our gifts, our talents, our body, our soul, all that we are, the circumstances that we've been placed in, everything is a gift from God. The only thing that we can call our own is our sin. That's it. Everything else God has given us. And so when we lose perspective of this, we can't be thankful. We act entitled. And so when we persist in sin, we lose light and we lose perspective. The fourth effect, you will lose all fear. Here's a thought for you. One day, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ, and he is going to judge you at the moment of death. It's called the particular judgment. And how is that going to go for you? You know, I think about this very often, and I'm glad that I do, because it puts life into perspective. Because when we lose this perspective, sin loses its seriousness. You know, sin is a serious thing because it offends God. But how much does it offend God? Now, I'm not even talking about mortal sin, which cuts us off completely from God. I'm just talking maybe about venial sin. We think, well, because it's a venial sin, not a mortal sin, it's a kind of a smaller sin. We call it smaller sin. Well, is it still small in the eyes of God? Well, in the sense that it doesn't completely cut us off from God, I suppose so. But really, what is sin? It's an infinite offense against God because he's an infinite one. You know, Saint Faustina was brought before God in this mystical experience, and she saw her soul as God saw her soul. So here she is, she's a nun, she's a sister, she's living a holy life. And she saw the imperfections in her life as God saw them. And how did she respond? In her diary, she wrote, "Once I was summoned to the judgment seat of God. I stood alone before the Lord. Jesus appeared to me, such as we would know him during his passion. After a moment, his wounds disappeared, except for his five, those in his hands, his feet, and side. Suddenly, I saw the complete condition of my soul as God sees it. I could clearly see all that is displeasing to God. I did not know that even the smallest transgressions will have to be accounted for. What a moment! Who can describe it to stand before the thrice holy God? Jesus asked me, 'Who are you?' I answered, 'I am your servant, Lord. You are guilty of one day of fire in purgatory.' I wanted to throw myself immediately into the flames of purgatory. But Jesus stopped me and said, 'Which do you prefer, suffer now one day in purgatory or a short while on earth?' I replied, 'Jesus, I want to suffer in purgatory, and I want to suffer also the greatest pains on earth, even if they were until the end of the world.' Jesus said, 'One or two is enough. You will go back to earth, and there you will suffer much, but not for long. You will accomplish my will and my desires, and a faithful servant of mine will help you to do this. Now rest your head upon my bosom, on my heart, and draw from it strength and power for these sufferings, because you will find neither relief, nor help, nor comfort anywhere else. Know that you will have much, much to suffer, but don't let this frighten you. I am with you.'" So when Saint Faustina saw her soul as Jesus saw her soul and saw her offenses, her response was, "I want to suffer in purgatory, and I want to suffer the greatest sufferings on earth, even if this suffering continued until the end of time." She wanted to do, in other words, reparation for what she saw. It horrified her so much. Now, Jesus said that wasn't necessary, but that was her response. "Let me suffer until the end of time here on earth and also in purgatory." And she's a holy sister. And I think of myself. What we need to do is ask God to illuminate our hearts so that we can see rightly. But when we persist in sin, we lose fear of God. It's dangerous, friends, dangerous. I think about what St. Faustina was told by Jesus, that she's going to have to suffer much to do his work. But what was the solution? He said, rest your head upon my heart. Friends, in life, we might have to suffer much. But what is the solution? Isn't it not the Sacred Heart of Jesus? Rest your head upon his heart. I believe that is the invitation of Jesus to us today, that we would rest in him. And there we will find strength to endure and to rise above the sufferings that are in life. So friends, please share with me below in the comments what stood out to you and why. I'll see you tomorrow. Janelle will be back.